All right, off on that. Number three, a steady heart. A steady heart. This is what they called emotional regulation, that I'm going to call a steady heart. This is managing your emotional responses in a Christ-like manner. Managing your emotional responses in a Christ-like manner. Now you'll begin to see how these tie together. Once I learn impulse control, I can do better at giving my attention and focus to the right part. And then now when I have a stronger foundation of emotional stability and what I would call proportional, constructive, and aligned with Christ's character. When my emotional responses are such that they are proportional, constructive, and aligned with Christ's character. Been thinking about writing a book called Conform to His Image. Okay, different story. With apologies to my old friend Ken Bola. There is no way to make it through ministry without stress. It's just simply impossible. So we have to learn to manage that stress. We have to learn to guard our heart. And so when I talk about a steady heart, I'm not talking about a dispassionate heart. I'm not talking about a heart that doesn't feel. I'm not talking about a heart that doesn't emote. I'm not talking about maybe what we think of in the extreme, the stoic heart. I've been accused of that a little bit. You know, you have kind of a stoic mindset. And you know, certainly my background in computer programming and engineering, I do tend to be far more rational on the scales and stuff than a lot of people. But doesn't mean you don't feel the emotions. It just means you express them differently. But what it means is you're managing your emotions instead of allowing your emotions to manage you. And then you manage things with appropriate emotion, proportional emotion. A friend dies, there's an appropriate proportional response. It's a friend. Their parents pass, a sibling is lost, a dream that you had dies. Your dog gets sick. I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about all this stuff. That's who you are. That's proportional. That's emotion. I'd even argue that's even constructive. But then there are times when the stress level in your life is so out of control that you move not just out of your stress zone, which we all have, a zone that we live in, a road on which, as long as we stay within the boundaries of the right and the left, you know, our stress can go up, our stress can go down. But then there's a time when we move out of that zone and we get into distress. And this is the time we have to go back to impulse control. You have to go back to focus. You have to build that time between the stimulus and the response. And you have to recover. I cannot tell you how to avoid distress. I can tell you that it is possible to get better at bringing it under control. So you want to strengthen the time it takes from when you go into distress to when you can self-regulate enough to bring it back down under control. And then you must learn that when you're in that distress, how to control your response up there so you don't do something that's really going to mess things up. I mean, I can't tell you how to keep people from hurting you. I can't tell you how to keep people from irritating and saying negative things to you and causing you to fly off the handle. But I can help you, and I do think it's possible to strengthen yourself in such a way that you can pull back more quickly and get into a place where you can think more rationally, act more godly, and represent Christ appropriately. I've had staff members that never could develop this muscle. They were good staff members. They were productive staff members. But if one thing went wrong on a Sunday, they were ruined for the rest of the day. Now I would be upset too. I would be irritated too. I'd be ready to strangle that volunteer too. Never did it, by the way. Never have put a hand on a volunteer. Never even cursed at a volunteer. In my head, maybe, but not in real life, you know. I've tarred and feathered a few in my head, but not in real life. But you know, you can't help it when it spikes. Yeah, it's like you can't help the power to go out, but you can, you know, bring it down, turn it back on, or bring it back into regulation, you know, very quickly. But, you know, some people have a bad morning and they're wrecked for the rest of the day. You've got to learn to be better than that. You've got to learn to be stronger than that. So how do you do it? Well, Proverbs 25:28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. So start with the small things. Evaluate yourself. Examine your emotions. You know, why did that get under my skin? How do I deal with that? I've got a crack in the wall. Better to fix a crack in the wall before you have a collapse in the wall. And then this is, I think this is a command. You tell me, Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Sounds like a command. Sure seems like it. But all of us in this room are mature enough to know that God never commands us to do something He doesn't give us the power to do. So it's not that the command is bad, it's that we're powerless to do it. So where do we get that? We get it from the Holy Spirit. We get it from being connected to the vine. We get it from the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then it goes on, I won't read it, but it gives the bad fruit of the Spirit, you know, after that. So you got to work on it. Before I go back to that Ephesians verse, it says in Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. That's an interesting connection. It's not whoever studies the most. It's not whoever attends Titanium Coaching. It's whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. Proverbs 14:29. But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. That's a bad reputation to have. A folly exalter. What does he do? He exalts folly. So this is the steady heart. This is the Ephesians 4:29. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Look, you're human. You're going to feel it. You're going to take the hit. Things are going to go bad. They're going to go bad outside of just what we're talking about, church life. You know, you're going to get bad news in your physical life. You're going to get bad news in your relational life. You know, things are going to happen. But the question is, can I regulate it in the power of the Holy Spirit? Can I bring these emotions under Christ's control? Not self-control, Christ control. So live this out. How about a few questions? Can I be the non-anxious presence when finances dip in the church? Can I offer a calming perspective when key families leave? Can I properly emote when conflict arises? You've heard the phrase in the past, I'm sure, the speed of the leader, the speed of the team. Well, the emotional regulation of the leader, the steady heart of the leader, so goes the team. Yeah, you're going to get anxious when finances dip. But you still got to steady the ship. I learned a little tip on anxiety over the last few years. I wasn't always a person that was extremely anxious. But as things got bigger and budgets got larger and more staff were under my purview and responsibility grew, I would get anxious about things. And I learned that one of the best responses to anxiety is action. Because anxiety likes to live in your head. And it's like the old Mark Twain quote, I've had a great many worries, most of which have never happened. So anxiety is a bit like that. It's stewing without doing. And so you take action on it. You write out the anxiety in your journal. You talk to God about your anxiety. And if you talk to God first, you'll be the non-anxious person when you're leading your team through the dip, whatever that might be. But the difficulty in these emotional roller coaster times is to respond with clarity. Because when you get knocked off of your emotions, you get unsettled. When you're shaken, those are words we use when our heart is unsteady. The difficulty is to find clarity. Clarity when we're being criticized. Clarity when we're on the defense. Clarity when we want to just withdraw or run. Clarity when we're having bad days. Clarity when we feel the weight. And so we have to find that. We have to embrace that grace. We have to accept the pain, experience the lament, make some confession to the Lord. Make the confession to the Lord, not to the pulpit. Don't, dump it before God. Don't dump it before your people. And then regain that calmness. Again, not taking out the emotion, but a steady, calm, and emotionally healthy leader. Strengthen those muscles. You might need some outside help to do that. So I mentioned a few things that were sort of practical, but just to punctuate those before we get to the next one. I found that it really helps to name it if you want to tame it. And so you go before God and you say, God, I'm feeling these emotions. What is it? And we'll often start with something that it's not. We'll start with we'll say, I'm afraid. We'll say, I'm worried. And then God replaces it with something better. Really it's a lack of faith. Really it's a lack of trust. Really it's a lack of perspective. You write it in your journal. Say, I'm angry. I'm afraid. And then, we realize what it really is and what might be deeper than that. Or we just simply say, I feel threatened right now. I am afraid that I'm about to blow it. And just somehow or another, by naming it and putting it out there, it creates the space for the Spirit to sort of begin to work and regulate your heart and then give you the proper response. So that becomes extremely important. But then after you do that with the Lord, this name it, tame it kind of process with the Lord, then you need what Wayne Cordero called a lightning rod. It's very powerful. A trusted processing partner is how I heard someone describe that. This is another person, usually someone outside of your situation. Could be a counselor. I'm a big fan of having a Christian counselor. I'll talk about that in a second. But that may not be immediately available to you. So another pastor or a mentor that you can access rather quickly. And this is a person that it's like this lightning bolt of emotion has struck you. It's bouncing around inside of you. And then you go to God, you evaluate it, you begin to regulate it, you begin to move in the proper direction of the Spirit. And now you make that call to the person and you tell them all about it and they help you ground it. Just like a ground wire that it would be put on a tall building so that when lightning strikes, it takes it straight to the ground. Now, between when it hits and when it goes to the ground, that's where you talk to God. You name it, you tame it, you invite the Spirit's power to regulate it, but then you have that person. And I've been fortunate enough to have two or three people that, believe it or not, almost every time I call, they pick up the phone or they get back to me pretty quick. And they'll let me rant and they'll let me rave and they'll let me lose my cool. And somehow or another, they still love me when it's over. And I try to do the same for them. But that's a lightning rod. I found it to be better if it's someone who's in the same profession that I'm in. But at least one of the people that I'm thinking of, they operate in a totally different tradition, a totally different type of church than I'm in. I mean, they have, you know, very different structures than I work in. Their church is, I mean, it couldn't be more night and day different. Okay, I'll just admit it. It's a Jehovah's Witness. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just making sure you're still paying attention. But, you know, what I like about that is he really has no idea how I operate. I mean, he can't believe I can just hire someone without going through 44 committees and 18 deacon meetings, if you know what I'm talking about. And I mean, you know, that may be what you do, but like, that's not how we operate. But he'll listen and he'll let me rant and rave and he'll ground it. And, you know, I walk away just with a new perspective. And same thing for a couple of others I can think about. I've never used my spouse as a lightning rod. Cordero warned about that. And so I've always taken that to heart. And the reason why is because I'm not good at coming back. Like my peers that are lightning rods, they don't require me to come back and close the loop because they're not going to be at church on Sunday. But my wife is. So if I come home, and I'm not saying I hide from my wife or I don't explain everything to my wife, I do cautiously consider what I may or may not say, because if I'm very upset at the family pastor, that might be the very place she's serving on Sunday. And then she's giving that family pastor the evil eye. And she's good at it. My wife's extremely bubbly and has huge personality. But she'll give him the evil eye. Like, what are you doing hurting my husband? What are you doing causing grief with my husband? And I told her that on Monday. I was so upset. But what I forgot to do is tell her how we settled it on Thursday. And everything's great. We're back on track. We're good. But I forget that. I don't have to call my buddy 1,000 miles away and tell him. You know, he's too far away to give the evil eye. He'll just wait till the next time we talk and say, I bet that worked out, didn't it? Like, it did. It worked out. Emotional control, emotional regulation, steady heart, strengthen the muscles. Are you with me? Are you connecting?